I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Ro, and Raf on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Filipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast. I'm back from the Stan C World Tour, leg number 3 of 2017.
And he's not done. He's not even done.
Not even half done, yeah.
And he's not even half done.
What nope.
The fuck? He's not.
He's not.
He's got so many more trips planned out that it is by far one of the most impressive things for somebody without a full-time day job.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
Okay. I'm just saying it's an impressive thing. That's the thing.
No, you know what? What the one thing the LA trip has done is that it's reset my body clock. So now I'm trying this thing called sleeping normally and sleeping early. And the side effect is nagising ako at 6:30 today. So the reason why I walked into your house with a cup of coffee is because I was literally falling asleep while driving here.
Wow, shit. That's not safe. We didn't even see him walk into the house with a coffee.
So.
But he did. He did ring the doorbell. To Balay Camus, and they let him in because they're like, "Oh, we know this.
This Chinese man.
He has not been here for a while.
He seems absolutely trustworthy and not about us to rob our house."
So I'm gonna do my best to try to be as energetic as possible, even though yung normal na pagka night person ko is not kicking in anymore. Because like last night I was
body
out.
Clock.
Yeah, body clock. Like I was out by 10:30 last night. Before that, I was out by like 9. So yeah,
dude, don't
fucking judge.
No, 10:30.
I would kill to go to sleep.
I would kill to like just be in the state of I'm ready to fall asleep.
No, I am always ready to fall asleep at 10:30. I would kill to sleep at 10:30. Period.
I would like that. I would like to sleep by 10:30. Unfortunately, we can't because we have an entire podcast to get through. But that means that's good news for you, and also good news for us because it gives us something to do. So it's been. It's been, like I always say, it's been a packed week in wrestling. Although right now it's more of just been a packed week in general because of all the stuff that's gone on.
That's true.
We have some announcements that we have to get to probably by next week as we inch closer to WrestleMania weekend. But before we do that, we might as well remind you about several things that are happening. If you're listening to this right now and if you have no plans, absolutely nothing planned for tonight, then head on over to Skinny Mike's. Join us for the second annual Quizzlemania All Wrestling Quiz Night.
Quizzlemania 2.
Yes.
Do we have a sub name to that? Like a secondary?
Well, I don't know, but we're not doing this from three different venues, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so we're calling it the second annual Quizzlemania. We've got more prizes than we did last year.
We have more guests than we do from last year.
I mean, we don't know that because we haven't actually done it yet. You know, we're recording this at a time where we're not doing this yet.
Yeah, but what we do know is that we are giving away GCs from Skinny Mike's as well as a 3-month subscription to the WWE Network, which you can share with your teammates if you actually win first prize at Quizzlemania. And Ro and I were actually with Anthony last night, and we were working out the questions. There's some pretty fun questions in there that I'm sure everybody would love, regardless of whether or not you're close into the inner circle of this Mark Henry team or even outside. I'm sure the PWR guys who frequently listen to the podcast and really supported Quizzlemania last year and are supporting it this year as well, they're going to get a kick out of these questions. And even if you're not part of that circle, pretty sure you're going to enjoy yourself as well.
Oh, we will have international wrestlers joining the... I don't know if they're actually joining the quiz.
They're going to be there.
But they're going to be there and they're going to hang out. If you want to hang out with them...
That's what I meant. Guests. Them.
Huh?
Guests. Those guys.
Oh, shut up. Shut up, Camus. The first shut up, Camus, of the night. So, Enya, we are going to have international wrestlers hanging out. If you want to hang out with them, you want to take photos with them, you want to pick their brains, anything. We heard one guy has trained Finn Balor.
Yeah.
another guy has trained with
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze. So yeah, if you want to pick their brains, they love the attention for sure. Sosai King for Forefront Wrestling
in the UK
trained some of the PWR guys a few years ago, and then the beautiful Billy Sway, which you heard on this podcast and you saw in the past two wrestling shows locally. They're going to be there. They're going to have fun, and you can have fun with them.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a sense of pride nonetheless if you end up scoring more points than them. And if they score more points than you, then I guess you shouldn't be surprised because they are in the game after all. So
internationally.
Yes, thanks, Camus. So there, that's Quizzlemania. That's taking place this Thursday. And then after that, on April 3, it's a Monday morning. Come join us for our third annual WrestleMania viewing party at Skinny Mike's. If you've ever been to a viewing party at Skinny Mike's for WrestleMania, then you should know just how packed it becomes by 7:30, 8 in the morning. Which is way earlier than any of us would like to be at BGC. But, you know, if it's WrestleMania, it's a different animal altogether.
Kundi kayo flexi time, file your leaves, as he said. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
You come to work, like, after lunch or... Or not at all, since it's going to be early and you're going to be fucked up. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Beer and wings on a Monday morning.
Even if it turns out to be a shitty event like, you know, the past few WrestleManias.
Oh, 31 was great.
31 was great at the end.
At the end. Leading up to it, we were just like, wah.
Yeah, exactly.
32, so, though, was really tiring and crappy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So, even though it might not be the best WrestleMania ever, the mere fact that we are watching it alongside an entire community who is happy to watch things together for some reason is good enough as a draw, I think.
Plus, if we actually fill up the main bar, you don't have to stay at the smoking area. They might just open the top floor for us this time around.
Oh, so...
Wala na kayo sa main part, the cool table.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, like, if there's a bunch of you upstairs, since you might project their screen,
projector
room. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll be just as fun, as we all know from the Royal Rumble viewing party from last January. So there you go. Those are our obligatory plugs and announcements for our upcoming events in the local wrestling community. And speaking of events, we actually have somebody right here rejoining us on the podcast for, I don't know, the fourth or the fifth time?
This is the second review that he's done.
No, but I'm sure you've been here.
Wait, no, he's been here.
Wait,
third?
Is it time for him already?
This is three?
Wait, is it time for Darley already? Is it time for him already?
Do we really want to talk about Raw?
No, we're not going to
talk about Raw.
We're going to talk about something better. We're going to talk about Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Yes!
He can join us as well.
Welcome to join. So,
hey, guys!
Welcoming back to the podcast.
I'm now known as Darley, by the way. So, yeah. Hey, guys. What's up? It's me again. Hi.
Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Lance Darley.
I know. Lance Tamaran.
Yeah.
Lance Tamaran.
Okay, I'll be honest. I only saw just a bit of Southpaw Regional.
What's wrong with you? You have so much time on your hands.
It's
and you've 20, only seen... Yeah.
The entire thing is 20
minutes.
I forgot.
Forgot what?
Were you talking about the other episodes?
Yeah.
Were you drinking like Cheddarfield?
I only saw just a bit, sadly.
What? So you know none of the jokes you were talking about?
I know some of them, but I don't know all of them. Jesus.
You fucking poser.
I'm sorry.
Fucking poser.
At least I went through the effort of watching every video, even though I was like three days
like
late to the party.
20 minutes, man.
Yes, that's what Rose said.
Okay, I promise to watch it after the show.
You fucking better.
So Southpaw Regional Wrestling,
you don't.
Okay.
Probably the most interesting thing to come out of WWE from the weekend.
For one thing, it is a native advertisement.
That's what I was going to say.
It was a native advertisement.
Good
for,
God.
For Woo Crispy.
Woo!
Tang.
Woo Juicy.
KFC Georgia Gold Honey Barbecue Fried Chicken.
Because they plugged this with another series of webisodes. Well, web-based adverts that were pretty weak leading up to Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
So after I finished this, I actually showed all four videos to one of my friends who isn't part of our circle, but is also a casual wrestling fan, and more importantly, an advertising practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him what he thought about it, and then he watched all the videos, and he was like, I'm impressed at how seamless the transition was from the actual content to the advertisement na hindi mo akalaing tunay na advertisement pala.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's why.
It's only
so
if you're savvy in the media industry that you'll find, wait, they've been shilling KFC Georgia Gold for one too many times here.
And then it's a current product.
Yeah.
It's a current product. And then it's just, it works on so many levels because the
No, they opened with an actual show. A faux show.
And that they basically...
Shout out to faux show! Shout out to Jackass of the faux show on Magic 89.9.
10 to
2 Hang in their best. Hang in their best.
So, yeah, it starts out with a fake television program, which naturally would have a commercial break in between.
Somewhere. Yeah.
That's why it works so well.
And I think the fact that they went so far as to actually produce original content and to think about it, that says a lot about the amount of creativity that went into the whole endeavor.
It fucking needs an award.
Yeah, it does. Even the guys, everybody who was part of the videos, in all their costumes and their characters, which is so fun to watch. Nung kala ko si TJP was Simon Gotch.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, so I was like, is that Simon Gotch? So I had to ask you guys who that other guy, who John Johnson was. It took me a while to figure out that Fandango is Chet Cheddarfield.
Yeah, it's
the comb over. It's the comb over and the tattoos that you don't
see. No, I thought it was Cesaro.
Yeah.
No, because he was balding, right? So you think Nana, but then you can also see
it's a cap.
Yeah, it's a cap. So
the tattoos give it away, though. Like, if you know that Fandango has forearm tattoos, then you'd probably be able to figure that out.
Anthony made an interesting observation that the segments are shot with the same people in one brand. So you don't see Raw and SmackDown guys mixing it up in one segment. So Fandango and John Cena are SmackDown guys. So they're the ones who are together.
Yeah.
So, and then you got Raw, you got Jericho with TJP,
Rusev and Lana.
Raw. So
Tyler Breeze, mag-isa siya.
So for those who don't know, you're trying to guess who they are, like the sea creature.
The sea creature
You know who the sea creature is, but at this point, now that you know that it's Tyler Breeze and someone else, it has to be a SmackDown guy.
Yeah.
So my guess now is it's Baron Corbin.
Pero may ka-feud nung character ni Tyler Breeze, si Mr. McElroy, ka-feud ni si John Johnson, di ba?
Yeah, yes.
No, ka-feud ni si Big Bartholomew.
But
you never seen together.
Yeah, that's right.
Is such a genius.
I think the best part about the whole thing is the lethal leap year joke and the big payoff at the end.
Yeah, MDJ found the whole thing corny before I told him to watch until the end.
Yeah.
So the actual joke pays off.
That was the best part.
The setup is wonderful, and then you're just like, oh, and then biglang, when it all falls apart, yes!
And like, my favorite small joke is Chet Cheddarfield saying that guy's a piece of any technical difficulties. which is something I've been using on Twitter recently. So, if you haven't had the chance to catch the Southpaw Regional Wrestling videos on YouTube, just
20 minutes
Google
of your
it.
Life. I would put everyone in Southpaw and then draft them to Raw and then make Raw Southpaw. That's it. Like all the SmackDown guys on Southpaw, draft them to Raw and then make the whole thing Southpaw. Then you have SmackDown and NXT, 205 Live.
How much we hate Raw.
I got added to this Facebook group when I was in LA. So it's a bunch of guys on the West Coast who chat about wrestling. They also have their discussion threads, like we do on SGP and whatnot. And they actually have a Southpaw discussion thread where everybody
as
breaks
should.
It down.
As everyone should.
Talk about your feelings about Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
It was a lot of fun just going through yung observations nila. And I don't know, I guess on my part, it's refreshing to see another wrestling group. Now, you know, there are other wrestling groups out there where, you know, people just try to get by on discussion threads and not just memes.
Yes, I agree.
Memes.
Wait, what are you looking at him?
He is a meme.
He's not a meme lord, though.
No, he's not a meme lord. He is a meme.
It's fine.
As of this afternoon.
Darlie's not meme, though. I mean, like, if there's one thing as an admin of a Facebook group that really gets me, it's when all of these meme memes get posted and, you know, they don't really try to start conversations.
They just post for the sake of posting, basically.
Exactly.
Just because they post a meme. It's funny. Yeah, it's funny, but
You can see a lot of memes in like other online like boards or whatever. So
we see enough of them on our timelines.
Yes, exactly.
4chan.
Yes.
The dark place that is 4chan.
Speaking of 4chan, another big piece of news that came out over the weekend, obviously, is the Paige leak. Or the Paige, Xavier, and Brad Maddox leak, however you want to call it.
There are actually other leaks.
That are coming?
No, they actually have
come.
Oh.
Yes. For the sake of, you know, not encouraging this behavior anymore, I won't name them. But if you do enough digging, you'll find them probably. But, you know, still.
They're out there.
Scandal, leak, black.com.
here's the thing. A lot of people have been talking about whether or not WWE should punish any of the parties involved.
No,
they shouldn't.
And I think most of us logical beings who are interesting generally agree that they shouldn't be punished.
Yeah, I'm proud of you guys for coming to this conclusion.
And that WWE is in the right for not having punished them.
Because they have set precedent.
No, they have not.
Yeah. Seth Rollins?
Oh, yeah, Seth Rollins, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
No, but you say there was an added element of fear here because Paige was a girl.
Yeah, and yes. The fact that at least when Seth's nude leaks came out, he didn't have ejaculate all over a championship title.
Good God!
Which may or may not have happened in one of these leaks.
We will not confirm or deny. It's a rumor.
But you have to ask yourself, though, out of the NXT Women's Champions, which of them actually kissed the belt?
Asuka. I'm betting Asuka.
But I'm sure she's into that shit.
Yeah, but she likes the belt.
That is foul, good sir.
Wow, God.
She's Japanese. She's a Japanese woman.
What is that supposed to say?
Yeah, that's also very bigoted of you.
What is that supposed to say, sir?
A lot of things. A lot of things.
I mean, I know she's freaky and shit, but... We don't have to explore those things on this podcast, sir.
Yeah, I guess the general point here, general opinion is that who's really in the wrong? It's the people who leaked it. Obviously, they're in the wrong. Yeah, come stop distracting me.
Sorry,
I'm trying to make a point here. These people were the victims, obviously, and WWE's in the right to not punish them. There's another bit of news which actually isn't getting a lot of attention right now, which I want to shed light on.
Yes, sir.
And it's the absence of Mauro Ranallo.
That is a good,
yes.
good thing to talk about.
Yeah, his continued absence. So last week, he got stuck because of the blizzard and wasn't able to make it to SmackDown at 205 Live.
That's actually pretty disputed. They say it could also be what you're about to say.
Right. What we do know is that Mauro Ranallo is actually someone who's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. He's very open about it. He speaks a lot about it on social media, and he calls himself a mental awareness advocate. It's actually on his profile.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, after last week's missed episode, he got a lot of flack from guys like Taz and I think Josh Matthews.
Josh Matthews was the dick.
Yeah.
Taz just wrote it.
Yeah, I thought it was very unfair for these guys to give Mauro crap for having missed the show for whatever reason. Sabi natin totoo na he really got blizzarded out and he wasn't able to make it. Mm. There's word going around na one of the reasons why Mauro hasn't been active on social media since last week and missed this week's episode of SmackDown is because he may have gotten triggered with his bipolar disorder.
How do you know this? Is this actual conjecture or is this my conjecture?
No, it's actual conjecture I've seen.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Right.
I'm glad to know that it's not just me who thought of that.
Yeah, you're not the first person I heard that from. So, as a Mauro fan, I'm generally concerned. I'm pretty worried. And I wish Mauro nothing but the best. Like, I hope he recovers. I hope that this is just a phase. Not a phase. No,
it is a phase. It is a phase in the grander scheme of the thing.
Yeah, he's able to overcome it, I mean.
Yeah. Yes. It's one of the... for those of you who don't understand mental health, I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying that mental health is a broad spectrum of things. That there are phases.
Mental
there are
illness.
These dark times. It is an illness.
Mental illness is a broad spectrum of things.
It's not as easy to say that, oh, it's a bad day for you. Get over it. No. You can't always say that. And in the case of Mauro, a guy that we have grown to love in the past year and a half, close to, I do hope self-harm is not involved here.
I don't believe so.
But, you know, it's a possibility.
Yeah, I know.
I just like to be positive about it. I just like to think he took a break from social media, took a break from whatever negativity came his way. Thanks, Josh Matthews.
He needs to get his zen back.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Yes, he is a dick.
I hope Mauro comes back in time for the go-home show and that he makes it back for WrestleMania. So, there. And any other stuff outside the ring that you guys want to touch on before we get to Darley and what he really is here for?
The new set of Snickers commercials are pretty fun.
Yeah, actually. They
Bailey,
are.
Heel Bailey.
I haven't seen Heel Bailey, but I have seen Creepy Miz.
Have you seen Overtan?
Yes, Overtan Sheamus.
Overtan Sheamus is pretty good, too.
That was also funny.
Please watch Heel Bailey, because that made my week.
I don't know why, but it seems like there's more creative effort being put into these commercials than on Raw.
Actually, no, that's not true, because it's only recently that the commercials have been good. You've seen the raw, the product placement stuff.
Oh yeah.
The Sonic stuff.
Sonic stuff.
Subway. Jared, the Subway guy.
Stuff, Burger King stuff.
Oh, the Burger King stuff was pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, they're shoehorned on Raw and SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually the WWE has a history of terrible, native ad placement. So it's only with Southpaw and the new Snickers ads that they've actually been getting better.
Yeah. Again, though, it doesn't really say a lot about Raw. Nah, it gets outshined by these advertisements. In fact, if you don't really have time to catch Raw, I would suggest you don't save for the Chris Jericho highlight reel. That was pretty much the only thing worth watching on Raw this week. SmackDown, however, is a different story altogether, as it is every other week. From Miz and Maryse's Total Bellas parodies to the Tag Team Championship match, it's all pretty good. I haven't seen Talking Smack, have you?
I've seen bits of it already. I've seen like the first 5 minutes.
I know Ro's been having a busy week, so he hasn't seen much of anything.
That's right. It has been a busy week for everyone, but we are here today.
Woo! We're gathered here today for Darley to review.
Yes.
Should we get on that?
Yeah.
Should we? Okay.
Yes, let's just get on to it.
Right. Yeah, he's for here to review PWR Live Ma'init.
Ma'init. Yes.
Basically, our go-home show before Revolution X.
Yes. The PPV is a go-home show. A monthly event is a go-home show.
That's true.
I mean, that's the state of affairs of PWR. I really want to blame classical Brian Leo here, but I don't think this is his fault this time.
No, it's not. I don't blame him. I don't blame him for not having TV. Maybe I do.
actually, it's very interesting because... Oh, okay. Okay, it's actually pretty interesting because... I think a long time ago, PWR used to have these like two shows before they have their big show.
Yes.
And sometimes these shows happen in other locations, like in like a Paranaque show, in other locations.
Yeah, that is true.
So I think it's a refreshing direction for PWR to have these go home shows like a month apart. Like you have this go home show and then
the get
their life and then there's the big show.
Are you okay with the fact? Are you happy about the fact that there seems to be a home base? Kumbaga.
Yes, actually.
For this. Like currently, the home base is by any sense.
Yes, actually, it's an improvement to be honest because before MCS was very Ma'init.
That's true.
Yeah, it's
true.
Very Ma'init. And then
still is.
And then the iAcademy.
Yes.
The iAcademy was actually. It was fine because it had air conditioning,
but
being in a school, there are certain things that there are limitations, I guess.
You can't
no, but
bring
as
in
a fan,
cooler,
as a fan, what limitations did you feel? Because as performers, we did feel certain restrictions, but as a fan, did the experience of watching a wrestling show at a school give you restrictions as opposed to a venue that wasn't a school?
If I'm gonna be really strict about it. In a way, yes, because in a school, you can't consume certain things.
No, be upfront with it. What?
Yeah,
say it.
Fucking beer, or like alcohol. I mean, MCS used to allow alcohol.
Yes,
and it was fun. It was hot, but at least they allow drinks. You can drink any alcohol you
want.
Your
section has a cooler.
I didn't expect that actually. And yeah, at least in Bayanihan, it felt more relaxed. I guess is the term. It had cool air conditioning. The place is actually pretty wide for a show, and it's actually like the middle ground in a way that Quezon City people and like those from the south can actually go there without feeling that it's very far. It's very hard to go through there, and it's easy. And it has a lot of food in there, yeah. So
okay,
they like the perks.
So,
I do enjoy the food. Yes.
I do enjoy the free parking.
I didn't get any burrito. I wasn't able to get any burrito on Sunday.
Oh, I did.
How do you feel about the new Sisig burrito?
I like that
they're
here.
Oh, man. Okay, the Sisig burrito is the shit. I'm not even kidding. It's actually one of the best things I ate in the burrito variety. So it's actually fine. And, it got me full throughout the entire show.
Didn't you also have
me full. One burrito. Was more than enough.
Didn't you also have the pasta?
Yeah, that was just
Charlie Chan.
Oh yeah, I tried it for the sake of curiosity.
Maybe Charlie Chan's son.
Charlie Chan.
Yeah, they have.
I wasn't able to buy for the concessionaire.
You're backstage the whole time.
I'm
sorry.
So therefore, I was not able to buy for any of the concessionaire.
You could have asked me. I would have done a run for you.
That's fine.
All right, so Mainit, what expectations did you have heading into this March show, and did we meet those expectations? What went through your mind after you walked out of Bayanihan?
Were you expecting it to be hot?
Well, thankfully it wasn't that hot because we're in the Bayanihan, which is a-okay. My expectation was like the big kicker, the big thing of the show was the three matches, the three qualifying matches for the tag team titles. Because, you know, honestly, this is the one thing people have been asking for a long time. It is really the tag team titles. And at least finally, when you have those titles, all these great tag teams have something to fight for. And when you go there, you have this expectation that this is going to be a good show because of these matches alone. But then you have all these other great matches like JDL Panzer and Sandata and Ralph and Mabayashi. So overall, expectations pretty high.
All right, so how do you want to go through this? Do you want to go through match by match, or do you want to go from big idea to big idea? You're reviewing the show, so I want to go with what's more comfortable for you.
Okay, we can go match by match.
All right. Yeah. So let's start off with the pre-show then. Mm-hmm. It was Evan Carlow. Yeah.
Carlow.
Yeah, and he took on Bolt.
Ah.
So what did you think about the debut and the Bolt character as well as the match with Evan Carlow?
Okay, well, first and foremost, Evan is actually a pretty good character because he had this this obnoxious character in him. It resonates to the fans. He's
your section. I will say that.
Well, he's a fun character, and in the ring he's actually pretty good as well. But for Bolt, nice reference to Naruto, by the way.
That's a Naruto reference?
I never understood that.
Sorry.
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah, because
explain it for the masses.
Okay. So, wow.
Like you usually do.
Okay. So Naruto's ending tomorrow.
Okay.
The 500th episode.
Like forever?
Oh no! Because in a month's time, they're gonna have this new spin-off. Naruto has a son. Shockingly, I think it's Boruto.
Naruto got sex.
Yeah, he had sex. I can't believe it. This is called Boruto, which is next month. He's the son of Naruto, and when you you turn into English, I guess it's Bolt.
Right.
So
Bolt-PWR is a reference to the son of Naruto.
He's basically son of Naruto.
He is the base son of Naruto. Yes.
Okay.
And there's
something new today.
For a debut, it's actually pretty good for a character. He's a pretty he's like a very small cruiserweight. And for a guy like him who moves very fluid, I guess, it's actually an interesting debut for a character like him to, you know, to show off his moves and all those things.
But wouldn't you say that it's better for like lighter wrestlers or smaller wrestlers to be fluid? Like, shouldn't that be something natural? Because normally, the archetype of the small wrestler is that he really is fluid when it comes to movement, whereas the big guys are more plodding. So, hindi ba natural
also,
lang yun?
I guess, but then you have the argument of Main Max. Because Main Max is like someone one would expect would be the typical big guy.
Typical hoss.
Yeah, but suddenly you see him do all these things that you wouldn't really expect. So,
and that's why he's the perfect hybrid.
That's true. But yes, to your point, yes, there is a certain expectation for small wrestlers like them.
Evan Carlow is not small.
Yeah, like if you have the stuff and you can show it off, then show it off.
All right, so talk to me about the match. Like, what did you think about the match itself?
The match was fine for a pre-show match. It was frantic. Bolt did a lot of showy moves. And Evan showed off his Miz-inspired, moveset, which is
okay.
Which is good.
What do you think of that, though? That he's, kind of blatantly cribbing from the Miz.
Well, it's, for me, I mean, personally, it's fine. Because everyone copies from everyone eventually.
Tell that to all the haters.
But yeah, I mean, these two went through a very good match that demonstrated Carl Lewis.
get used to saying it,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, it's hard. Carlos. That, you know, he. Yeah, I mean, I think they're building him to be this next big heel. And so they needed him to get all these wins. So if he has.
He has to.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Okay.
So I think in a way they both benefited from it. Both show that he has this underdog, skilled underdog character. And you have Evan, who's a douchebag. But a douchebag that's slowly becoming this big heel that maybe in the next few months we'll see him in a bigger capacity.
Okay.
Too early to... I don't know. From my point of view, it's too early to make that call.
Uh-huh.
Right? But anyway. Up next, you have... is there anything else you want to say, Pala, about Evan Carlo and Bolt?
Evan Carlo is...
get it together.
You can't pronounce it at all, can you?
I'll try.
One more time.
Carlo. Okay, these are the two new boot campers from PWR, who I'm assuming graduated. In a way...
Awesome.
Sorry.
Insider info, ka ba?
I don't know. I'm just guessing because they're new, right? You know, I'm assuming they're new.
Yeah. I'm just fucking with you.
These two guys are, I guess, a testament to how much PWR has improved in terms of introducing talent.
Mm.
So... when you look back like a few years ago to now, there's definitely a huge improvement in terms of talent. And hopefully the next guys and girls who are coming out of boot camp would show the same enthusiasm and, you know, in-ring.
Well, I don't think they graduate without showing enthusiasm. So.
That's true. But, yeah. I mean, Evan and Bolt are good signs of, you know, PWR's improvement in talent, I guess.
Right.
Ah! Interesting. Okay, makakarating yan sa mga trainers.
Sorry.
Alright, next up, you've got the Crystal Open Challenge.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the night.
afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, afternoon, right.
That was still like, the sun was still up.
Yes. Crystal had this... opponent who's supposed to be this guy
referee
is yeah no the,
oh, yeah yeah the pre guy the pre guy
yeah
the big husky guy with the
yeah, yeah. But then this guy is Trian
De La Torre
suddenly did a sweet chin music to the shin ankle I think and did a stunner move or something and that shocked everybody because what a referee suddenly attacking this guy? I mean,
storytelling.
Haven't you ever seen Brad Maddox before?
Or haven't you ever seen the announcer who pushed the main heel?
Really?
You're looking at him right now.
Oh, right. Then I mean, this like the first. I don't know if it's the first time you see something like that.
Nope.
And then he got the mic and explained that he's like the little people's champion who said all his motivations in like. 5 minutes, maximizes time, and suddenly the fans are suddenly warming up to the guy.
Did you catch the part with the midget wrestlers?
Yes, he showed the small belt, right?
He is the champion of this.
Yes.
The small people.
Here's my question for you. The way that he acted was very heelish. The way that he talked was also very heelish. And yet, from backstage, we all could tell that he was getting a babyface reaction.
Yes.
What do you think about that, and how do you reconcile the fact that he got over so quick with what he did and what he said, even though he's getting baby face heat, pero dapat heel siya. What did you think about that?
Actually, it's a very weird position because you have this midget wrestler. Quote unquote.
Wow. I was like, wow.
In a good way.
Wow, what?
Yeah,
what's good about that?
I'm sorry. He's just this guy who suddenly speaking all these things about him being the little people's champion, all those things, and suddenly he's saying all these things, and the fans were liking the fact that this is something you don't see every day, and because of that, I think that's one of the reasons why fans were warming up to the new Trian, because nobody expected him to. Get that kind of reaction, and I don't know if it's hard to explain. Really, this is the guy.
But this is your job. You're here to explain it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. yeah, you can't really say. But okay, Treant maximizes minutes inadvertently from this heelish persona, because it's something that I guess humored the fans. It humored the fans, I guess.
No, I think the question, the question
should
be,
what you're trying to say really is that you just like what he did, so you cheered for him.
Yes.
To say you believe that he did what he did well.
Yes, he did well. And
okay.
Ergo, this is a CM Punk reaction.
Yes, there you go.
That you cheer a heel for being good at being a heel.
That's right.
Fuckers.
No, but
I get you.
The question I'm trying to ask, though, is that was there something about the Treant De La Torre character that people related to?
Oh.
Being little.
Because I get the reaction now. I'm going to cheer you because you're a good heel, so you deserve my praise.
Yes.
Therefore, I praise you by cheering you. But at the back of the Revo Nation's minds, was there a part of them that related to Treant De La Torre?
Considering how undersized we are when it comes to things like basketball.
Well, maybe it's the underdog feel, I guess. Because you have this guy who's saying all these things that he had to go through hoops. He wanted to be a wrestler. He wanted to be this wrestler for a long time, but he got relegated into a referee.
Because of
some guy.
Let's blame, never mind.
Wink, wink. And because of that, I guess the fans kind of related at the fact that, oh man, he's being pushed down. And I know he's supposed to be a heel, but he was being pushed down, and this is something that resonates to a lot of people.
So,
being
CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Treant De La Torre is our version of CM Punk.
Sort of. Yes. In terms of getting like this face reaction. Then getting the heel reaction.
Okay.
So what did you think about the match that he had with Crystal then?
It's one of the more, how you say, it was not
okay, be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, you can be blunt.
Okay, it was not Crystal's night. Because there were some parts of the match it felt like it was being a little sloppy.
Okay.
Although it's not, it's like a rare thing to say that Crystal's match is sloppy. It's really not every day you get to say that, but it is.
Okay.
Because,
okay.
You know, but you know, the only thing that, the only positive came from this is that Treant got his 5 minutes. He maximized it, and pretty sure he'll be featured in the next few.
5 minutes? That time was short.
Yeah.
My last question, was it the best use, in your opinion, of Crystal?
Hmm?
Was it the best use of Crystal, that spot?
Honestly, that boot camp challenge could have been given to someone else.
Okay.
Because Crystal was already getting these big matches, and suddenly put her in a pre-show boot camp match. So, why?
So, what do you mean? Nintendo's boot camp challenge.
Or the Kanto Terror Chaos, Open Chaos, or, you know, remember what they called it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Kanto Chaos Challenge, that's what they called it.
Yeah.
In 2014.
Oh, man.
So who would you have put as the gatekeeper, per se?
Oh, man.
Of Le Boot Campus.
Because remember, it was first Kanto Terror, and then Jake De Leon. So, yeah, who would you put in that role if not Crystal?
Oh, man, it's a tough question. Probably if someone would work, like, let's say there's this PWR guy who would work two matches in the same show. And the boot camp match can be like this for a warm-up match, I guess. But he'll still show up in the main show.
Basically, you want a workhorse to be in that role.
Yes, like to say Sandata or Chris Panzer or...
But considering Panzer's in the main event...
It could be anybody.
Panzer wasn't in the main event of this show.
Yeah, but...
Oh, wait, not this show. He's in the main event of the next show. Sorry.
Yeah.
Shutting up, Camus.
Shut up, Camus.
number two of the night.
Oh,
first
you're saying two. That's awesome.
Yeah. So
I'm okay with him saying it.
It could be anybody, really.
All right.
But if you had to pick.
If I had to pick? I'll pick. Let's see. Man, it's hard.
Well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to pick. Like, you know, you gave the accurate description that of what you wanted to see in that role, so that's fine.
All right.
Okay.
So next up, you go to the main show. You've got a tag team tournament. Tag Team Championship Tournament match.
Mm-hmm.
First up was Delirium versus Deadly Sins.
Yes.
Thoughts on the match
how
it went down.
Mad Lad. Okay, the Deadly Sins. Okay, it took me a while to figure out why they called it Deadly Sins. Okay. it's one of the... It's actually the first time I'm seeing Delirium work... I mean, you know, be in a good match with them. With anybody. Same caliber as the Deadly Sins.
Okay.
So seeing a match that As I said, the three tag matches were some of the highlights of the show. And you see the teamwork between these two teams, and you see they really brought their A game to this to the entire match. And then you see the character work of Madrigal and Vlad. You see, we really see that in terms of character work, they can really shine and get a reaction from the audience. And because of that, I guess you can say that it's a pretty good match. It's a pretty good match with a pretty good a clash of styles, I guess, between the Delirium, who are, I think they're like the underdog team, I guess.
Okay.
That's the vibe I'm getting from them.
It's valid.
And you have the Deadly Sins, who are pretty much two pretty big bullies, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, what did you enjoy so much about? You mentioned Clash of Styles.
Yes.
So, what did you like about that Clash of Styles? Because you do have these two tag teams that work very differently.
Okay.
In terms of style.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about it?
Okay, I like the fact that Delirium is more of the, I guess. They utilize their speed very much.
Okay.
Mm.
And I guess and
speed.
Speed, yes. And then you have the Deadly Sins, who have this combination of power in Vlad, and this brawler style in the form of Madrigal. So these are the things that you have this again clash of styles that actually worked throughout the match.
The one moment that actually impressed me in that match was
mm-hmm.
when one of the guys from Delirium tried to pin Vlad, but it was Madrigal who was legal. So he goes and says, "Tanga, I'm legal man." Like that was my favorite part.
That was awesome. That was cool. That was great. Yeah, it was. That's again the character work of Madrigal.
What is the word that he uses?
Kupal, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty much him. Kupal siya. Pero that's the point.
It worked.
But that's the point of Madrigal, right? I mean, he's a dick, and because
dicks.
Yeah, he's an asshole. And you have Vlad, who's like a quiet. He's a
quiet
monster.
Crazy.
Quiet but crazy.
Quite crazy.
Sick and twisted individual who manages to tolerate the bullshit of Madrigal, I guess. So
right.
Again, you have this.
If you look past the bullshit, you have an efficient tag team.
Yes, exactly. It's like Cesaro and Sheamus, sort of.
I have a question also.
Okay.
Did you enjoy the finish?
You mean their finisher, right?
Yes.
You,
that new finisher.
Okay, that was one of the most impressive things I've seen in the whole time I'm watching PWR.
Like, ever?
Yes, the finisher was actually very impressive.
So it didn't scare you, like, for the general well-being of the receiver of the move?
That was
as
Dan Erickson.
As a fan, I actually loved it. I mean, okay, safety be damned, but if we're gonna be really strict on the move, muscle buster backbreaker combination,
lung blower.
Yes, is actually pretty. I haven't seen it before, and to see this happen, it's like, oh shit, it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next, anything else on the first tag match of the night, or do you want to move on to the next match?
I think we can move on. Yeah.
All right. So next up, you had the beautiful Billy Suede taking on Makata.
Oh man. Oh boy. Okay.
Here it comes.
Okay.
Do you like the Spurs?
I gotta admit, I'm not good in basketball, so I can't really answer that. But okay.
Now you throw back jersey.
Wait, what did you wear last time? I wasn't there.
Curry, Durant.
Steph Curry.
Someone else's Durant.
The rookie Curry jersey?
No. 30. Curry.
He's been wearing 30 since he was a rookie. And was it his rookie jersey?
No,
like
no,
the
no,
old
no,
one?
No, it was a new
one.
It's not throwback jerseys per se.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to describe Suede versus Makata, I have to go back to the last show, which is Makata and Evan.
Yeah.
When they fought
each
other. Oh, Kyle.
Yeah.
So, and, again, they had a pretty good match together, right?
Sure.
For, like, a debut, let's say.
Okay.
Yeah, for a debut. better or worse. But then you have this match between Billy Suede and Makata.
No, well, talk to me about the promo first, because the promo led to the match.
Yes.
Like, what did you think about the promo and then the match?
It felt kind of awkward. It felt really awkward, because from where we are, we couldn't understand what he was saying or what he's trying to say.
Neither could I.
Right? So, it was a loss in translation, really. What were you trying to say? I mean, are you trying to diss Billy Suede, or are you trying to... I don't know, what are you trying to do? And Billy Suede countered by saying that he's the something John Cena.
The discount Pinoy John Cena off a Balikbayan box.
Yes. Which is like the best insult of the day. And yeah, I mean, really, Makata got wrecked by that.
Wrecked.
So yeah, that was an awkward moment.
Was it Maram levels of wrecked?
Maram?
I just know what Maram is.
Never mind.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, yeah, go on.
It's not basketball. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not basketball.
Okay, so for what it is, I mean, you have Billy Suede, who had, 10 years of experience or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
more than 10 years. 10 years now.
Against a guy who just debuted in 2 matches. So from there, you could probably tell that, okay, this is not going to last as long as you want it to be. And it ended the way it did, because it was expected.
What did you think about JDL coming out to stand up for Makata?
That was actually unexpected, because one, I didn't even know that he would be in the Billy would be in the show until it was announced. But you wouldn't expect it. Wait, he's gonna show up again? I thought it was a special feature attraction from the last show.
Mm-hmm.
So when you
surprise.
Have right, so,
it is still very special to have Billy Suede.
Oh, definitely, and he moves very fluidly for like a veteran. I mean, he is a former champion, right? So, but when JDL showed up, the first thing that came to my mind was, holy shit, are we going to see JDL versus Billy Suede? Because, you know, JDL's a really good wrestler. And you put him against a guy who's as experienced.
Really good.
Yeah, really good. So, okay. Oh, this is going to be very good to see. So, oh man. That's all I can say. It's, oh man, it's going to be exciting.
All right. Anything else on from that match or that segment, or you want to proceed?
I hope Makata would focus on giving better promos next time,
mm-hmm.
because the last one was really, really hard to understand.
Well, I know Makata in person, personally, and I can tell you that he really is a man of few words.
Oh,
so
okay.
that can explain a lot of things.
All right, understandable.
All right, so next up, you had your second tag match of the afternoon, Fighters for Hire versus The Network. And that permutation was AB3 and Ivo.
Mm.
With a distinct absence of your favorite wrestler.
Yes, my favorite wrestler. One of my favorite wrestlers, in fairness.
Okay.
Yeah. okay. It was a fine match because you have the antics of... actually, it's funny because I don't think we've ever seen... Idol and AB3 in a tag match the way they have, and then you're putting them against an established tag team like the Fighters for Hire. So
OG.
Yeah, OG. What I really like about the match was how Idol and AB3 interacted as a tag team, because it really emphasized on Idol's craftiness. Idol's a very crafty wrestler, that's the point. And you have AB3, who really complements the craftiness with his strength and size advantage. But then you have Ruthless Miguel Rosales being Ruthless Miguel Rosales. And, well, again, I mean, that pretty much speaks for itself. And you have Tito Joey being a very well-maintained, well-oiled wrestler, in, as usual. So it was a great match.
Oil?
Well-oiled machine, if you will. So it was fun to see these two teams mesh with one another. Again, it's one of the best things of the night.
Yeah.
And when Rosales came in and wrecked everybody, and wrecked AB3 and
Hybrid
with a hot tag. I mean, he's Mr. Hot Tag of PWR. Right? I mean, wow. I mean, no wonder they're going to go to the finals.
Did you enjoy the supplement segments, though?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Did you catch any
sadly,
in your mouth?
You.
There was one on the floor. I wanted to try it out, but then I kind of thought, you never mind.
Who knew that Darley didn't observe the 5-second rule?
Yeah, I was tempted because, you know, Ida was throwing all these things and trying to catch them in the air and they kind of missed. So I saw it in the floor and, okay, should I try it? He threw it, but, you know, never mind. So
I give you powers.
Exactly. I mean, it worked for Miguel Rosales, I guess. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good match.
All right. Then you had the PHX Championship match between Peter Versosa and the Apocalypse.
Man, okay. That is the worst match of the night.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah, can you qualify that for us, please?
Okay. So, to describe this match, we have to go through two, just for the record, the Makata versus Billy Suede match isn't really much of a match. So I can't really say
squash.
But as a competitive match, this was the worst because if we're gonna look at it in an in-ring standpoint, and let's face it, when Apocalypse and Apocalypse and Peter Versosa are in their matches, they usually deliver. But somehow for the when they had their interaction in the ring, it felt flat. The audience was silent, and there was really nothing that really got the fans going, and it felt awkward.
I actually want to dispute what you said about Peter Versosa in particular, mm-hmm. Consistently putting out great matches, because from what I've observed,
mm-hmm.
he's actually been getting lukewarm reaction since January. Like when he won the title at Bagong Yugto, it wasn't like the people really reacted to it the way Peter himself would have wanted them to.
Yes, actually, of course.
Is this observation as a general manager, or...?
Yeah, it's an observation both as a GM and as a fan watching it from ringside.
Sure.
Yes. No, actually, I'm talking about before 2017. Because before 2017...
But we've hit the Bagong Yugto. We've turned a new page.
Okay.
Fuck the Brian name here.
I think it's fair. It's not unfair to consider his previous body of work from before this year.
Going to Bagong Yugto onwards... his performances have been not as expected from a guy who did a lot of great work before.
So what's not working? Because clearly something isn't working when he used to get such nuclear reactions in the past, whereas right now he's just not getting any.
Maybe one of the factors would be the fact that he's when he fought these characters like Main Max, who's a big guy. And then you have the Apocalypse, who's supposedly the indestructible force of PWR. I guess the problem is that maybe it's a case of him being uninspired, probably, or I don't know. I'm trying to understand. Maybe it's the character work because I don't see him having this personality now.
I'd actually like to take off from that point. I think that's a very good point that you brought up the character work of Peter Versosa, because if you notice his past feuds,
mm-hmm.
he did particularly well when he sort of... when he wasn't the underdog, basically. When he had a clear and distinct advantage against, say, a Crystal or a Sandata.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sandata at the time was winless.
Yes.
Couldn't catch a break, and Peter Versosa found that break, which is why he was able to elevate himself against Sandata.
Yes.
At the same time, there was the obvious size disparity between himself and Crystal,
mm-hmm.
plus the fact that he was blatantly mistreating a woman.
Misogynist!
Yes.
So you had that character work going for Peter. So what can you say about the fact that he was clearly at a disadvantage despite being the heel against someone like Main Max? Or this time against the Apocalypse, it didn't seem like Peter had any advantage whatsoever.
Maybe it's because this is from our observation. When we watched Peter before, he had this, his misogynistic character.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
With Crystal, right? And this is the kind of character that's getting some reaction. But then suddenly things changed in 2017. He became this... And he's still athletic as hell, sure. But he didn't exhibit any of his usual mannerisms or characters that made him a hated guy to begin with.
So that's why you said that his performance is uninspired.
One of the reasons. Because, of course, I can't speak for everybody. But from what I've seen, it felt really silent. The match with Apocalypse felt really... it was really quiet. It was awkward silence.
Did you think, though, that that was also because of the Apocalypse as a character, or...?
That's the second part, actually. the Apocalypse was supposed to be this destructive force that, you know, that he injures people and destroys everybody. But somehow, when you see, you know, Peter Versosa overpower the Apocalypse, it really destroyed the character of the Apocalypse in a way. Because isn't it supposed to be that the Apocalypse, being the destroyer, like that he is, should do that to Peter? I mean, if it was a main max, sure, maybe there's like there's monster versus monster feel.
Yeah.
But with Peter Versosa, who for most of his PWR career is more agile and more
Spot Monkey-ish,
sort of. It felt off that he's suddenly overpowering the Apocalypse. Like, he's gained so much, you know, strength.
Actually, that was also one of the things that I wanted to point out during the match itself. Now, Peter was surprisingly able to easily lift up the Apocalypse,
yes,
despite the Apocalypse being built at 236.
Yes.
And when you look at them side by side, mas matangkad si Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the Apocalypse is bulkier than Peter Versosa.
True.
So I'm gonna have to agree with you on that point. Like there was some disconnect over there. I don't know what you guys think, Ro and Camus, but there is something to be said about that disconnect.
Actually, yeah, like, because it's really hard. I mean, if you have this again, I think this was said in the last
review.
Last review about the Apocalypse. If there was a room for like a character like the Apocalypse in PWR. And to that I say, yes, agreed. There is a room for a monster like him. But to see that, I mean, they have to appropriately treat him the way he should be. Not when like Peter overpowers him. And, you know, it's like saying, I don't know, someone can easily lift up the Big Show or something.
But wouldn't you say, in that respect, as you're trying to say, the character should be protected in booking?
Yes.
But given the way he's been booked, he has actually been protected very well.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't tapped out,
mm-hmm,
and I don't remember the last time he's been pinned, if at all.
The one with Ralph.
Yeah.
From many shows ago.
Mid last year.
Probably, yes.
Mid last year.
I agree. I mean, Apocalypse is well protected. But maybe for this particular instance, it felt really off to see Peter do like with the Carne Norte on Apocalypse, or do all these power moves, and even the swing, which really felt like
it's off.
Yeah, I mean, if main max, I mean, I guess perception is reality, and when you have probably a main max do it, sure, but if you have Peter Versosa suddenly have enough strength to do that, that really felt out. It felt out of the field.
I guess just to contextualize what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's am I right in filling in the blanks together,
mm-hmm,
when I say that Peter was never really given a history of being a strong man, and then
yes,
all of a sudden he acted like
that.
I
don't think that's true though.
He was pretty strong. He was the muscle of DualShock.
No, DualShock,
yes.
And he was established. He established himself then as a strong man when, you know, we were fighting guys like Ralph. Granted, yes, there was a size disadvantage between him and Ralph, but still, he could have easily not, you know, done power moves, but he did, right? And I think he has pretty much exhibited his strength a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think we don't just remember it a lot.
Probably, I guess. I understand that, but you know, maybe if he did that to some other another wrestler is fine, but just don't do it to the Apocalypse.
Okay.
I guess.
But
I just want to add.
Yeah.
Yes.
Redrick Mahaba's whole retirement.
Retirement, unretirement.
Yes. That whole phase of the entire day was one of the best character works I also ever seen from Red ever.
I have a question though. Did you think the whole switcheroo, the whole trick, I guess,
mm-hmm,
the Mark Henry thing, if you will.
Yes.
Didn't you find it a bit heelish?
It felt a little heelish, But then it's because of the fact that Apocalypse started it first.
Okay.
He attacked Red, right? And he
so this is justification.
Yeah.
And justifies the means for you.
Yes. I mean, sure, he lied to Mr. C.
Yeah,
and
the whole universe.
Yeah. Oh, Revelation, right?
Revelation.
And he lied to... But, I mean, sure, he did something heelish, but then again, Apocalypse started it.
So it's Machiavelli for you. The end justifies the means.
Yes, exactly.
Hey.
I mean, there's... We can't say that a face has to do face things all the time.
Really?
I guess. Randy Orton, for example.
So you approve of John Cena being scumbag Cena?
Are you justifying that?
No, I don't like John Cena. I mean,
are you justifying Randy Orton burning down a compound set piece?
Yes, because Bray started it.
Or are you justifying Kofi Kingston destroying private property?
Mm.
Yeah,
I do.
I would.
I would.
Because Kofi.
Yeah, but the way Redrick Mahaba did his promos, it's actually very convincing. In fact, me and George, we legit thought that he was serious. That he got injured.
Retiring.
Yeah, but retiring.
Okay.
We really thought that.
Now, what do you think about this feud heading into Revolution X? It's going to be all out war. Redrick Mahaba basically personifying love and the Apocalypse personifying hate. What do you think about that?
It's awesome. It's awesome to see love and hate fight each other.
So this
in
is
a wrestling ring.
This is an affair of when love and hate collide.
Yes. Gotta make love to conquer hate, I guess.
Make love to conquer hate unless...
Yeah.
Do you hate making love?
No, I mean...
What the fuck are you guys saying?
I
was trying to reference Def Leppard. Jeez.
Okay. That flew over my head like Batista.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, next up, JDL versus Chris Panzer.
Match of the night.
Match of the night, easily.
Match of the night.
Okay.
Remember what I said months ago about him being a choke artist?
Yes.
You're talking about Chris Panzer.
Chris Panzer.
Yes. Okay, babe.
Give it.
Yeah, but you know, now, this is the first time I've seen this kind of Chris Panzer.
Which
delivered probably his best match to date. Because it was really impressive to see him fight with JBL, and he really had an impressive showing. He showed resiliency that a top babyface should have. And I think he's ready to become the next big face PWR.
In terms of crowd reaction, would you say that this was the loudest that the crowd got for Panzer, or how would you compare it to some of the other matches where he had really loud reactions, like, say, last year's Revo X or the Path
FCS.
Of Gold win from February?
Definitely the loudest. Well, I guess now the second loudest would be the Revolution X match with...
With them.
Yes, they have names.
Don Sebastian and see...
Casey Montero.
Yes, Casey Montero. That probably has the second loudest from where we're standing. This one is probably the loudest he's ever gotten.
Louder than the Path of Gold win.
Oh wait, and we're not counting. We're counting Path of Gold.
Yes, because we're talking about
Panzer's
body of work.
Okay.
Darling, get it together.
All right. Okay. The loudest is the Path of Gold.
That's actually pretty
loud. So this is three now.
Yes. Okay. The first is the Path of Gold. He got a really big reaction.
Yes.
Second was JDL Panzer.
Okay,
third is the Revolution X match from last year.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good 1, 2, 3.
What did you like about this match to the point that you wanted to call it match of the night?
It felt New Japanish.
Sort of.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay,
what say you about this?
How do you define that for the uninitiated?
Oh, JD has been cream at that. At you saying that.
Okay.
Yeah, but for those who don't really follow New Japan, how do you quantify for them?
It is a match that had a lot of stiff strikes. Stiff,
mahilig sa stiff. Alam natin yan.
Wink, wink. It's partially strong style to a degree.
Okay.
But it also has the long sprints between,
Yes.
The long sprints in the match. It had a lot of... emotional moments of false finishes and a lot of moments that made you go wow.
It really
made you go impressed with these
moments that made you whimper.
Actually, I will attest to that. He did whimper a few times during this match.
That's really? True.
Why were you observing him?
No, I was in the area.
I was
in the area.
He's HR police.
So ganun, my designated spot is beside HR.
So, ganun
yes.
kalakas yung whimper ni Lance that you
that
actually heard it.
You want me to try it out?
No.
Please no.
Okay.
For the sake of our listeners
no.
who have made it this far, please, no.
I won't say anything. Okay, but yeah, it felt main event worthy.
Okay.
It could have closed any show.
I agree with that.
Yes.
It could have closed any show.
Same. Agree. Any thoughts on the Billy Suede run-in after the match?
It made sense because, you know, Billy was a dick earlier with Makata. He tried to injure him and to attack him. So it felt natural for a heel to, like, go back and, you know, get some payback on JDL. So it felt elementary that, you know, JDL and Billy Suede met each other earlier in the night. It was going to happen somehow.
Booking!
Yeah, booking. So,
in show booking.
So,
and continuity.
Yes.
And pointing at the sign.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
nice sign,
nice
by
yeah, I had a sign to point at. I actually pointed.
The sign!
We saw the sign.
I did.
Fuck. You saw the sign.
Yes.
That is the reference. Thank
okay.
you. Thank you. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you. Handshake. On air.
I actually was self-aware enough to say, yes, I actually am contractually obligated to point at
the
sign.
Point at the sign.
I said
then
that during my promo.
That is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I should contractually obligate everyone to point at the sign.
Well, you
no,
can't do that
sure.
at RevOX anymore because you're
yeah,
already
yeah.
there.
I mean, next year. We should have as early as Path of Gold or whatever the next whatever the January show is. We should
yeah.
have a sign to point to.
Yeah,
the road to RevOX
begins now. Point to the sign.
And like the first person to point at the sign has to actually be self-aware enough to say, we're starting this right now. It
That's
begins
the
here. The road begins here because I'm now pointing at the sign. Alright, last thought on JDL Panzer. What do you think about JDL moving down from the main event scene to, say, the mid-card?
In terms of standing, it's not going to affect
it. No, not standing, just, I guess, the arc
your
of
feelings.
The character.
Oh,
feelings.
Okay.
What are your feelings on this?
You have them, right?
Yes, I have feelings.
Okay.
Probably. yeah, it's fine, because, you know, you can't... PWR is going to have... got to have a new big baby face eventually, so there's only got to be room for, like, you know, some for the main event. So for JDL to move to the mid card's fine, because it allows him to have all these other matches, I guess, with other wrestlers, and he's gonna be in a featured match with Billy Suede. It's a featured match, so it doesn't need a belt. It only need are two great wrestlers. Do their stuff, and if they steal the show at Revolution X, it won't be surprising.
Okay. Next up, you've got the number one contendership for the PHX title between Sandata and Ralph Imabayashi.
Man, that was fun. That was fun.
What made it fun for you?
Okay. So for the record, I like Angry Ralph. I
mm-hmm.
really like
okay.
Angry Ralph.
He makes you whimper?
Oh, yes.
Which Angry Ralph was more impressive, though? The one from this time last year or the one we're getting right now?
The one that resurfaced that path.
I would say this one right now. We say, obviously, you're better than you were last year. Right?
That's true.
And he is much better than he was last year.
The thing about the Path of Gold last time is that when you see Angry Ralph, when he do this slap move of his multiple
yeah,
slap,
yeah,
multi-slap.
The EJ
yes.
thing.
That really exemplified Ralph as an angry guy, the angry character Ralph, because you know you have Ralph go through all of these hoops before, all the way to him being the champion, but after that there was no character development at that point. For the first time, Ralph suddenly had this angry thing chip on his shoulder. That he wants to prove that he's the best. And he may have lost last year, but now, this as a Path of Gold, this is the Ralph that we should have had a long time ago.
So, well, I mean,
well,
yeah.
We saw flashes of it.
I mean, how do you move? I mean, how do you take it lightly when you're doing your best, doing honest work,
mm-hmm.
the best you can do, and then you guys fucking
you.
Choose a douchebag?
What?
We're talking about the Chino match, if you haven't caught on.
Ashino match, Path of Gold.
Well,
don't deny it. You were cheering.
You are part of the problem.
You were cheering Mr. Gold and Path of Gold.
Of course.
You turned Ralph into this.
This
you
is
are
you. Irresponsible.
You are.
This is why we had you guests confront you about this.
What?
You created the monster you love.
What? But I guess it's gonna end
yes,
up...
no.
You are the reason why he
you
won't die a hero.
You have fans.
You have
Chino
fans.
You have
Chino fans and you knew he wasn't gonna be
you
there.
You are a Chino fan.
What?
We are turning this on you now.
Okay, to be fair, if it's gonna be... there's gonna be a positive from this, is that... It could lead to the best Ralph Imabayashi would ever had.
And, okay.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, if this is the Ralph Imabayashi that we're going to have in the future, that's going to be deserved. But yeah, you would love to see that kind of Ralph in the future. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
All right. What do you think about the finish?
It felt right. The finish felt right because now that Ralph has the justification to be angrier. I mean, he's an honest guy who does honest work. But somehow, some way, all the bad luck has been catching up to him, like the one with the network, where he got tied below the ring.
Yeah.
All the
That's
way...
fucked up, by the way.
Yes, he that fucked up. Tough. All the way
you
up to
up
now.
Fucked up in that spot.
All the way up to now.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and you're giving Ralph more ammunition to let loose eventually. And... For a guy who's keeping all that anger, eventually he's gonna explode, and you know,
well,
it's gonna be
if
something.
If this isn't the explosion that
he's gonna explode all over our faces, is what you're saying.
How do you feel about Sandata coming from this match? That he has earned the number one contendership for the PHX
in such a strange fashion,
up against his former tag mate.
Tag team partner.
The question is like as a babyface, Sandata being given this moment. Do you think this is going to affect him the way it's affected Bayley? Like when Bayley won the women's title, with help from Sasha.
Well, I think it's more of an honest mistake by the ref. I mean, it's not really Sandata's fault. It's not really Rao's fault. It's just it happened the way it did.
You could argue the same for Bayley though.
That's
but true. Bayley is getting crap for it as a babyface.
Will you give Sandata crap?
It's just one thing. I think the Bayley thing is it's happened over more nights than we'd like. So if this happens more, then yes, maybe there's an argument for that. But since it's just an isolated case, then I think it's too early to call. But the question begs here. Now, Mr. C, as the general manager, are you doing something about this?
Because you have just acknowledged right here, right now, that there is...
Yeah, that you have seen the footage and there is something amiss.
I didn't just see the footage. I was there. I saw it happen.
Yeah.
Something is amiss and I will be making an announcement later this week.
Yeah, how can you sit there and just take the finish for what it was?
I'm not.
But we all know how it is in wrestling. Wrestling logic dictates that the official's decision is final.
Something I know when you read earlier. So wrestling gods.
That's the wrestling logic at play.
Although, yeah, justice for Ralph.
Did you just defer to wrestling logic?
Yes.
So you're saying you're powerless against wrestling logic?
By being a character in canon, yes.
Sucks.
The Mr. C character is powerless.
Sucks.
No, I'm like the Flash in Music Meister's World. I have to follow the script. I
haven't gotten there yet.
Well, too bad.
I know.
It's just a musical episode.
Yeah.
Is it just one episode?
Yeah, it's,
yes,
just,
it's
one. A one-off.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I am in the Music Meister's World.
The Music
I have to follow the script.
It's sad.
But to be fair, I actually want to see Ralph compete in Revolution X.
I have a good feeling he will.
Yes, but you have Ralph is a good one of the best wrestlers PWR has. So
mm-hmm.
You know, he has to be featured somehow, some way.
Any other thoughts on Sandata Imabayashi, or do you want to move on to the next match?
I can't wait to see Sandata and Peter Versosa, and I hope this is the match that will say that okay, Peter has had some bad matches, but well, this is a pretty good match. I want to say that at Revolution X.
One last question. Sino na unang gumawa ng Versosa on the floor joke? Was it you guys or Anthony in his Bagong Yugto review?
I think it was Anthony.
I think it was a meme before that.
Yeah, really?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Not PW artists.
Okay,
no, not PW artists.
Okay, confession. I didn't know about the whole Versace on the floor until that happened.
So what do you know, Darley?
I live old.
He knows about weeb things.
That's true.
So when you heard of Versace on the floor, did you actually think of Gianni Versace?
No, I don't think he knows that.
I don't even know that, too.
Jeez.
I think the Versace the best.
He's not the pop culture maven that you are.
Yeah, not now. That current generation.
He died 20 years ago. He was literally Versace on the floor.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, gosh. Whoops.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
Yes, Kamas. Thank you for reiterating. All right, now let's move on. Puck Dolls versus YOLO Twins.
Ah,
that's
fun.
That was fun.
Sweet fucking Jesus. I have
words. That is the best match I've ever seen of the Puck Dolls, ever. That was the match that really impressed me. I mean, of all the bad matches.
And about the YOLO Twins?
YOLO Twins are the YOLO Twins. They're great.
Okay.
There's no question.
Sorry, just... You're qualifying.
Yeah, but I like the way that they went all out on the match. I mean, especially Robin's dive.
Yeah, the Swanton Bomb.
Yeah. I think she has a name for that now, I guess.
What is the name?
Bahalan na si
Batman.
Gago. That was impressive. And, you know... Oh man, I mean, she's like Lita to Crystal's Trish.
Okay.
In a way.
Okay.
She's the risk.
So...
Yeah, I mean, Robin is the punk risk taker. And this really showed. You know, it's a fun sprint from start to finish.
I want to mention something about the YOLO Twins, and this is something I noticed myself at, Path of Gold, at Mainit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they both came out, it was there was a stark difference between Johan and Logan. Logan was really mouthing off. He was restless. He was agitated all over the place. Whereas Johan had this subdued anger when he walked out.
A chill factor.
Yeah, you could say that.
Kissed?
I think it was Logan.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was the more agitated one. Would you say that this is like a development to help establish differences between them other than their hairstyles?
And the color of the polo
and the huge mole at the back of Logan.
Well, see, the thing
referees take note
when they wrestle. It's hard. Admittedly, it's hard to tell them apart.
Even with the hairstyles and the big mole on one of them.
One of them is a mole.
Yes.
On the sorry, that
it's kind of free to know that. By the way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that too. I mean,
it's very noticeable if you watch the match.
Oh.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a good way to differentiate them. It's a good way to, you know, to say that okay, oh, so this is the difference between all the other twins in wrestling. One is a loose cannon, and the other is like a subdued cannon.
Yes,
it's a unique twist to the whole twins dynamic in pro wrestling.
It's very to make a reference to Fushigi Yugi. It's like the twins Amiboshi and Tsuboshi.
Oh yes, that's right.
Diba?
More weeb things.
Yeah, more weeb things. And you know, YOLO Twins are pretty much, you know, one of the big highlights of PWR as of late. So, you know, it's fun.
So Crystal comes out after the network interferes and costs the Punk Dolls the match. What do you think about the stories that were set up, namely the fact that Martivo now has an issue with Idol and that Crystal and Robin got in each other's faces?
I think the thing with Idol and Martivo is sometime coming now. I mean, it's happening since Path of Gold. And
it happened during Path of Gold.
Yes.
The match.
And if they're going to have this big match at Revolution X, I'd be surprised. But I'm very excited for the first women's match in PWR history because that is a long time coming. We were supposed to have that last year, but I guess... circumstances did not allow that to happen.
Yeah, Scarlet.
So
Escarlata.
So yeah, this is the Trish and Lita of PWR.
One last question on this segment, and then we're going to move on to the main event.
Okay.
I want to ask you what you think of the fact that the network seems to be just moving on from babyface to babyface, trying to recruit everyone to join the network.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, or what do you think happens when Idol runs out of babyfaces to convert?
Because
they've all rejected him for one reason or another.
Because
that well's bound to run out, diba?
That's true.
So what do you think about that?
I actually want a babyface to actually give in Because they're so broke. Right? Wouldn't that be a compelling story? You expect all the baby faces to reject him because, you know, on principle and stuff like that. But parang ano
wala ka talaga.
Sobrang kapit ako.
Or kapit ako, yeah.
Or maybe a baby face that's run out of luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
maybe join the dark side.
Sell idol supplements.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think about that?
Well, the network's character is really based on the fact that they are networkers. So you're going to need a lot of guys to recruit. But eventually when they run out, then that is a good question, actually. There's...
Well, financially stable is EB3.
Hmm?
Financially stable is EB3.
Yeah, but that's not the question, Camus.
Yeah.
The question is, what happens when they run out of guys to recruit? So
are we talking kayfabe here?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think they're legitimate networkers?
Is it getting too late for you, Darlie?
Well, maybe they can bring other... Well, I'm pretty sure they can find more people. Because, you know, the world has a lot of desperate people. And I'm pretty sure that the network can find more people somehow, some way.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
I guess. Yes.
So there's always a sucker to find.
Yes, probably.
All right. Now let's talk about the main event. There's really not much to dissect here at this point.
Yes.
John Sebastian and Main Max ended mere minutes into the match because of a legitimate knee injury to Main Max.
Legitimate.
We really just can't stress this enough that the injury was real. He really dislocated his patella. From the PWR roster thread, we actually have footage of the injury as it happened. We have a screenshot of it. It's graphic.
It's documented.
As in the actual leg and knee actually does not bend.
No,
I mean, it bends, but in a way that was not intended to.
Actually, we saw the injury as it happened. Yeah, and from where we sat. And it was not. And here's the thing: that the worst part of it is that it was a routine move that he's done
several times.
So it really starts with the fact that pro wrestling is not something to take lightly because
the risks are real.
Yeah, the risks are real. And you know when they say don't try this at home, they're really.
You really don't want you to fucking try it at home.
Yes, because it
happens.
I think the biggest reason why we bring this up is the fact that there are a lot of people, both at the event and on social media, who were questioning
at the event
how real this was. They were wondering if this was really part of the storyline, if the medics were really called from outside Bayanihan. You know,
mm-hmm.
I bet people next door at Iverson's birthday party were also wondering if this was real or not. Let me assure you. Let me tell you, as both kayfabe general manager and as real wrestling personality, that it was as real could be. I legitimately called an ambulance to pick Main Max up.
Yeah, he's been repeating that story all week.
That's true.
No, because people were thinking that nakikialam lang ako and I was just calling some doctor friend.
I saw the Facebook page of PWR, that the posts about Main Max, and there are people who, I guess, are really questioning that because they're thinking, oh, it's part of the story.
To be fair, we have not helped our cause by actually putting out stories in which injuries were fake.
Classical Brian Leo, for example.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That was one.
During the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's also true.
That's actually conditioning.
But y'all have to realize that we actually do have to run those fake injury stories sometimes. And I suppose we also kind of have to take it against ourselves now. Oh, yeah, it doesn't help that we run these actual... fake injury stories when real injuries happen. Jesus Christ.
There were a few comments I saw on the Facebook page of PWR that called my attention. Not necessarily patama sa akin, but it got my attention because some of them said na that's two shows in a row na someone got injured legitimately at a live event. So you had Blackzilla at Path of Gold and then this time Main Max. And then I thought to myself, in the 3 years that PWR has been running, this is actually the first time lang na, or the first stretch that we've had these legit injuries at the show.
That's not true. We've
had minor.
No, we've had actual injuries before to guys like Bombay Suarez back in the day.
Concussions.
So this really isn't the first time it's happened. It just so happens that these past two shows were the first time it happened that it had to make them stop a match.
Right. I guess the point or the reason why I'm bringing this up is to say that we're a wrestling company. And
the risks are real.
Yeah, the risks are real. These are athletes doing legitimately athletic things. And at some point, the law of averages will take over. Someone's bound to get injured. No matter how hard you try, no matter how well you perform in the ring,
no matter how well you're doing the basics,
no matter how well you train, a routine move like Neville's basement dropkick got him injured. It shattered his ankle. The baseball slide. Thank you. Enzo Amore got himself concussed.
Yes, from the roof,
sliding
right?
out of the ring.
That was his fuck up.
That was ugly.
Right. And Main Max stomping on John Sebastian dislocated his patella.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing this up to basically say that these injuries will happen, and try as much as we want, or as much as we want to try, we can't prevent them all. So is there anything else you want to add to what happened in the main event, how this affects Revolution X moving forward?
Now, one last point on your injury thing. Sakin on the money is, guys, come on, use your damn common sense when you're discerning whether the injuries are real or not.
It's three minutes into the main event.
Oh yeah, why would we as a company why would a booker book a match to go an important title match, by the way, between two former brothers? Why would they book a fake injury 3 minutes in before the match even got good, right?
What's funny was, I actually thought that this match was going to go 12, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I went to the bathroom. And then the moment I got back, he'd already been injured. So, nagkakagulo na sa loob. And I was like, what's happening? And then Matt Ross comes up to me and says, call an ambulance. Yeah. So, that's how it happened from my point of view. It was just really, it just really drives you out of sorts. Right?
From a fan perspective, I just want to say that, you really have to appreciate all the wrestlers who are doing it every show, because people are saying that, oh, I can do it. I can go.
Oh, tangin na nyo.
I can go to boot camp.
You, Jepoy Dison.
I can go to boot camp. I can do better than them.
Yes, thank you, darling.
Thank you for saying that.
But the reality is, these things happen, and you're going to say all these things, and you're probably going to get hurt if you're not careful. And look what happened.
If you keep saying those things, we will be the ones hurting you.
Yeah. So, you gotta give them big props, because they're doing this and you're not the ones doing it. So
you're not the ones taking bumps.
Yeah, you're not
the ones risking your body.
Mm-hmm. And you're not the ones getting hurt for real. So, big props to the wrestlers.
Can we splice in one of those mocha sound bites?
No, please.
That is perfect for this.
If you want to do that, I'll have you edit the episode. But as long as I'm editing that shit, I'm not listening to anything from Mocha.
It's actually a pre-taped.
I don't give a shit. I don't want to.
Okay.
You edit the episode. All right. If you're gonna rate PWR Live Mainit by any metric, how would you rate it?
And please explain your metric if you're going into food.
Oh, wow. Damn. Okay. I think George is going to handle the food part. But, fine. I'll use the burritos. I'll give it 3.5 burritos out of 5.
Obviously, with 5 being the best.
But 5 being the best, yes. Because overall, the show was great, but there were some not so great moments. Like Peter versus Sosa and the Apocalypse, and the whole stick with Makata, trying to speak, and we don't get him at all. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Beyond that, it's a great show. Positives are really the tag tournament and JBL Panzer, which is definitely match of the night. Also, the 3.5 is because of the fact that Chino wasn't there.
Okay,
screw you two.
All right, so
before we wrap up,
this,
I have a very legitimate question.
Okay.
Where does Heckler's Row get a budget to produce custom Chino fans?
Okay.
And shirts. Who prays for this shit?
Okay.
And who thinks it's a legitimate, it's a positive, investment?
Okay.
And does Chino get a cut?
That's true. That's also a good.
Because you are using his likeness.
Oh, man.
Well,
your guy's not suing you and shit.
Yeah, Chino, if you can hear us, wherever you are in your suspension.
That would be a douchebag move to do. By the way,
well, I'll say this is one of the unexpected weird ideas that actually came to life. That much I can say.
So who's funding this shit?
I guess we are. I guess we are.
Who are you
know.
Protecting?
So you're a bunch of guys with a lot of extra money to throw around.
And
how to be UPO?
Well, we just love PWR to the point that we do these things, I guess.
Maybe you guys should be... You know what? Since you have all that time and money to pour into merch...
And time!
I said time!
I just heard the money. I just heard the money
Jesus
part.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, since you have all of that, all those resources, why don't you guys be the actual third-party, you know, merch producer of PWR? It seems like you have a lot of good ideas anyway, and you have a lot of money to
execute
spare.
It, yeah.
Like, I would say we have a lot of money.
Budget. Magkano ba yung mga fans na yan? At cost.
I have no idea.
Who knows?
It's probably...
I know who knows. That's what Brian Leo knows. He once had a PWR fan made.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I remember that.
And a mug of himself.
Yes.
Yes, that
and a PWR
suspicious.
Mug. I do have one of... I still do use my PWR mug.
And he does have those ugly collared t-shirts with his likeness on it.
It's always shoot day, guys.
I didn't even know that.
All right. I guess last question before we let you go is, what are you most looking forward to at Revolution X?
Honestly?
Since, you know, a huge chunk of the card is pretty much announced at this point.
Okay, I'm excited for...
Oh, you were announcing left and right.
I was.
Okay, I'm excited for
Sebastian.
John Sebastian and Chris Panzer. Because this is one of those things... Remember, like, before, there was a JDL and Name Redacted.
How would it be redacted? I've been saying
I said his name.
Like,
we weren't giving it... We were not giving him the Benoit treatment.
Okay, fine.
Damn it, darling.
We were redacting Benoit's name.
CBL. They had this one-year build-up to the following Revolution X, leading up to JDL's big win. So now there's... Like, this is the same scenario now. You have... choke artist Chris Panzer, who probably had the biggest loss in his career last year, who's gonna try and make it up this year. So can't wait to see if Panzer is going to finally win the big one.
So what you're saying is you're eating your words.
Yes, I'm eating my words.
Okay.
If he wins, and I'm also excited for JDL and Billy Swake because you know this is like the best in-ring wrestling. I mean. In-ring PWR.
The best combination between in-ring people that are on the PWR roster, essentially.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay.
And then you have a 10-year veteran who's a former champion wherever he went.
In Canada,
eh? Who are going to face each other. That screams match of the night.
I'm sure you haven't seen how the tag team championships look.
Not yet. And yes, that's the one thing I can't wait to see myself.
Well, I've seen them.
Oh.
And I can tell you that you are going to whimper like hell once they come out.
Whimper with volume.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And also on Crystal and Robin.
Yeah, you pretty much said you were excited for everything at this point.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Anything else you want to say then, Darlie, before we let you go? Like, is there anyone you want to give a shout out to?
Oh, yes. I think MDJ... MDJ said that last time, so I'm going to say it as well. Hashtag Anthony for podcast.
Yes, Anthony. I will acknowledge this if you actually went to the show this time around.
Ha! Actually.
Yes.
Actually, you know, we
might
be...
what else are you talking about?
We might be actually...
Oh, shit. We actually have a podcast about Jollibee.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't mind. Sponsored by Jollibee.
Sponsored. Jollibee sponsored.
Yeah. I would chill Jollibee for the podcast. Or on
Jollibee.
The podcast.
Woohoo! B! Woo! Spaghetti!
Nice. Crisp! Woo! Crispy delicious!
Woo! Juicy delicious! Woo! I'll take that.
Nice. Alright, are we still doing pick of the week this week? Because you guys didn't watch wrestling this week.
No, but my pick would be freaking Chris Panzer JDL.
You stole his
by far.
Yeah, you stole Darlie's. Mine would have been Usos versus Alpha because that was really good. Anyway, one last thing before we formally close this week's episode of the podcast. Some of us, we on the podcast, minus Darlie and a couple other friends, are actually putting together a t-shirt buy and sell venture.
Operation.
Operation, if you will. So There's always... No, it's not discreet. We're actually plugging it, Camus.
It was discreet.
Shut up.
That's three.
So, we know that every week... Pretty much every week when Raw kicks off, there's always a sale on WWEShop.com.
Almost. That's kind of weird to me.
If you've noticed this... No, they always do this every weekend. They start Friday until Monday or Tuesday. Paiba-iba lang yung promo, but almost every week there's a promo.
Like, are sales that bad? That
I don't think the sales are... From a marketing perspective, they're just trying to give people incentive to buy.
Yeah.
Because their markup is pretty high.
That's true.
Yeah.
Their markup is pretty high for considering that the shirts are good quality, not mind-blowing. But,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
The worst time to buy is actually Wednesday or Thursday in the US. Because that's when nothing's happening. Anyway, we say this because if you're planning to buy WWE shirts or merch anytime this week, do hit us up. It's at RoeIsWar, at Caveman Camus, at _StanC, or at DSGP Podcast. And let's correspond via DMs or PMs or what have you.
So how is this going to work? Real quick. Basically, Stan is going to have a box shipped from the US next week. And by that time, we would have all the orders cut. There's relatives.
Yes. So naturally, we're going to be charging a small fee for processing, shipping, handling, and all that stuff. But on the flip side, you won't have to worry about an exorbitant amount of shipping if you buy from the WWE shop on your own and try to have it sent directly to the Philippines.
Yeah. You do not want to see how it costs.
Yes, you don't.
It's
so
ridiculous. It's almost double.
Yeah. We don't really have a name for this venture yet. We're just trying it out. We've been talking about this for the last half year at this point. So, no better day than today to actually kick it off and get it off the ground. So, if you're interested, then let us know. We are on Facebook and on Twitter.
Send me promo in. Just check out your shop and, you'll see the promo.
Yeah. And WrestleMania is coming up, so I'm sure they're going to have one last push to move merch heading into Mania. Now, with all of that being said, that brings us to the end of episode number 158 of the SGP podcast. Darlie, thanks for coming over and for sharing your insights about my unit.
No, thank you for inviting me, guys. Thanks, guys.
Okay, fine. Go home. You're done. All
right.
And on behalf of Ro Moran and Rafael Camus.
One last thing. Big announcement coming next week,
yep.
By the way,
big.
The wrestling gods and Fox.
Yeah.
So please stay tuned.
And WrestleMania. Ooh, WrestleMania viewing party.
Yes, we
mentioned that at the top of the show.
So shut up, Camus.
That's four.
So, shut up, Camus.
So on behalf of Darlie, Ro, and Camus, this is Stan C, and we are out of here.
Peace.
Goodbye, good night.
Shut up, Camus.
That's six. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.